نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد, brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You're welcome onto our program, reaching you from the Sahaba Mosque here in Kundila Housing Estate, Maiduguri Road, via this important and august television station, this giant of journalism, NTA Kano. With me as your presenter, your brother Muhammad bin Uthman. Our topic of discussion today, inshallah, is going to be on Islamic banking. You see, this topic has generated, I don't want to say controversy, but it has generated lately some interesting comments. Let me put it that way. I don't want to say controversy. Some interesting comments, reactions, I mean, and the like. And I want to believe those commenting pro or against, I want to believe their interest is the goodness for our motherland and fatherland as well, Nigeria. And I want to also believe that they just want to adopt the spirit of sportsmanship, or sportsman spirit, as they're saying. They believe in live and let live culture. If Islamic banking is only for the Muslims, as some will want others to believe, then what is wrong? Why can't the other party adopt something that is only for that other party, in the spirit of tolerance, accommodation, togetherness, which has been characterizing the corporate existence of Nigeria for many, many years? But before then, generally, Islamic banking aims at, number one, eradicating this cancer, this monstrous monster called riba. Riba means usury. But today it is given some name to make it sound nice. Euphemistically speaking, they call riba interest. And you know, everybody's after his interest. Just as they call alcohol and alcohol consumption, they call it what? They call it spiritual consumption. Imagine. They call zina love making. They call prostitute hallow, or halot, they call her what? Free woman, like this. So a time will come, according to hadith, and it has come, when and where bad things are given beautiful, high-sounding name and palliating names to give it justification and some legal coloration. Now, riba in Islam, at least, is of three kinds. Otherwise, it has been classified into many, many divisions. Riba or usury is of more than 40 categories. The least in greatness, I mean, in being so bad, is just like somebody meeting his mother sexually. A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. This tells you how bad riba or usury is in the house of Islam. But according to what we have, textually speaking, there is riba of adding. That is, somebody borrows 20,000 naira from you. When he is paying you back, you ask him to pay 22,000 naira. That 2,000 naira added extra is called riba al-fadl. It is an addition. It is haram. There is riba nasi'ah. Okay, that's riba nasi'ah, because of delay. If he is to pay tomorrow, pay 20,000 naira. But if it's going to be after 1 month, pay 22. That 2 naira added is bad, is not allowed. That is riba nasi'ah. Riba al-fadl is the kind of riba where you treat two items like one tube of yam produced in Lafia. As an example, you give me just one tube of yam of Lafia, and I give you two produced in Zaria. Yam, yam. So why the difference? This kind of preferential treatment is called riba al-fadl, and it is haram. There is riba al-muzabana. You buy something raw, and you allow it to shrink and dry up. Later you pay. So these three categories are the basis of all forms of riba. The banking sector today, in its conventional form, is purely structured on this bad behavior of exploitation and the behavior of not allowing Allah's rules and regulations to take place. Now, concerning riba, there are many verses. I will start with them. First, there is verse number 275 in the Quran. Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْءُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِ فَانْتَهَى فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفَ وَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَمَنْ عَادَ فَأُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. That is Quran chapter 2, that is Al-Baqarah, verse number 275. It says, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى, those who devour, those who eat, those who take riba, that is usury, they deal in usurious ways of living. Okay, لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ, they will not rise up from being dead. They will not be resurrected on Al-Qiyamah day. What will characterize the rising up is going to be like somebody that has been touched by the Satan. They will rise up as if having epileptic feet. Those with, you know, epilepsy. So they are going to rise up from the bed as those touched by Satan, or having epilepsy. This is to tell you the negative impact or effect of riba will result in this miserable situation of them on the day of Al-Qiyamah. But the reason is Allah said, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْءُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى, because they used to say, but the commercial bargain that is legal is the same as riba. And you know, it's not true. You see, commercial bargain, selling and buying based on Islamic principles, are quite different from riba. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. But Allah has made legal al-bay', commercial activities. I buy from you, you sell from me. I set my eyes on a good commodity and I give you the price. That is al-bay'. And you know, al-bay' in Islam has six conditions: the buyer, the seller, the commodity, the price, mutual consent, and then the words that you use in concretizing the selling and buying. So this is al-bay'. But in riba, none of these conditions is there. So how do you say they are the same? So those who have been eating riba through banking system, through insurance, through assurance, through dubious commercial activities, you name it, they are going to resurrect or to be resurrected as if having been touched by the Satan or having epileptic feet. So وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Then Allah says, فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مَوْئِذَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّي, whosoever receives preaching, admonition from his Lord, فَانْتَهَى, and subsequently and consequently he deceased. Okay, فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ, فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفَ, what took place previously is overlooked by Allah. Allahu Akbar. If he had been dealing on riba that we're talking about, now he listened to the preachings and Allah helped him in understanding, yeah, this is the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So now I am repenting. He doesn't need to go and just take all of his money and throw to the garbage. No. Falahu masalafa. What took place previously are now for him and unto him. Wa amruhu ila Allah. Allahu Akbar. His affairs should be left in the hand of Allah. But Allah said, Wa man aada. But whosoever goes back to the status quo ante because of intransigence, arrogance, hydra-headedness, stone-headedness, right. وَمَنْ عَادَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Such are the dwellers of the hellfire, to be there permanently, ceaselessly, and without any ending. This ayah number 275, brothers and sisters, is very clear in handing down a resounding warning for those who take riba very lightly. And the conventional banking system of today is primarily structured on this spiritual time bomb called riba. This is the first ayah I had wanted to quote, and I have quoted it. The second ayah is the subsequent ayah, ayah 276, in the same chapter. Allah says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ. Allah blots out the barakah of riba. That is yamhaqu. Allah does away, okay, the barakah of riba. Which barakah has riba gotten? No barakah, no blessing. If there is any blessing, it is according to what's into your eyes. But as far as Allah is concerned, Azza wa Jal, there is no any barakah in riba. It is taken away. But when you rubis sadaqat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala develops and uplifts and increases sadaqah. The charity you give is increasing manifold, you see. And Allah says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ. Allah does not like كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ, any rebellious servant Athim given to the commitment of sin. You can see these two verses have spoken about riba. Now, the remaining verses are verse 278, 279 and 280. In verse number 278, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. O ye who believe, fear Allah and leave the remnants of riba. وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى. Whatever remains of riba, leave it. Leave it. What you did previously, if you have repented, okay, it is overlooked. But now, what remains of your life, desist from taking riba. But Allah says, in kuntum mu'min, if only you are true believers, if you really believe in Allah, desist, stop, don't take riba. Subsequently, he says in ayah 279, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If you don't do that, if you refuse to leave riba, okay, listen. فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Be prepared for a war with Allah. Serious. Allah is declaring a war on you. And be ready to declare same on him, if you can. فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ. Not only Allah, وَرَسُولِهِ, even, and his messenger. But then وَإِن تُبْتُمْ. But if truly you have repented, then فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ. Your capital should be yours. لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. Don't wrong and don't be wronged. Don't wrong anybody and don't allow yourself to be wronged. Then I think these two verses are enough. The remaining third one I have mentioned is taken care of in the light of the two verses we have quoted. So these two verses, out of many verses in the Quran, there are others in Surah Al-Imran, in Surah Rum, and similar places talking about riba. Now, the banking sector, or the conventional banking system, when I say conventional, as of today, as we have said earlier, the system is purely based on riba. If you remove usury, it crumbles down, like the house of cards. If you remove interest, the banking system is no longer there. It cannot withstand. All right? So, When Muslims in these countries start talking about this, many questions came up. Yesterday, some people from some bank sent to me about 11 questions about the viability and practicability of Islam banking system to be in Nigeria. Some of the questions have said, how viable is Islamic banking system is in Nigeria in the light of, for example, the secular nature of Nigeria? But to me, this is a very simple question that has simple answer as well. Nigeria is a country that belongs to all of us. We are bona fide Nigerians, bag and baggage. So we lay claims to our being Nigerians. And anything that is going to affect our interests positively and negatively, I think should be looked at maturely. No Muslim should claim to be the only owners of these countries. And Christians too will not make such a claim. For peace and stability to reign, we should love each other, the kind of love that our religions agrees. In the light of this, whatever that is a benefit to the Muslim should be supported by our friends, and whatever that is good to the Christians should be supported by the Muslims, even not against what Islam says. So in the light of this, though Nigeria, according to some, they claim Nigeria to be secular, it's not secular. There is nothing called secularism in Nigeria. The best thing is to believe Nigeria is multi-religious entities. Multi-religious or multi, the American system, is a country. In the light of this, what is good to us should be taken. We, the Muslims of this nation, having commanding the majority, alhamdulillah, say this is what we love. And our country is not secular because you have Sunday as work-free day. Where is secularity? Are you compromising the so-called secular nature of Nigeria with Sunday work-free day? What about the Gregorian calendar we are talking about, which is the only one recognized by all the governments of the nation? What about if you tell Nigeria is secular, right? But there is Salah holiday, there is Xmas holiday. These two holidays are religious. The former, Muslim, the latter, Christians. So if truly Nigeria is secular, you should just do out all religious holidays in that case. So don't deceive. We shouldn't deceive ourselves. So this should have answered the first question. There is nothing that can stop Islamic banking being practiced in Nigeria, and it's going to be beneficial even to those people crying hula balu, so to say, about it. That is number one. Number two, IDB, Islamic Development Bank in Jeddah, and many branches, I believe, across the Persian Gulf. When you go to Qatar, Bahrain, Oman, and the rest. There are many, many countries that have gone there, even non-Muslims, even from Nigeria. There are a lot of people that have gone there to even borrow from such bank in Jeddah and maybe other branches without looking at it as purely Islamic. Islam is a human religion. Religion with mercy, with magnanimity, that even supports if a non-Muslim comes with a good, a Sharia-compliant venture, Islamic banking can finance his efforts to make him grow. We don't close our eyes, especially in Nigeria. But if he says he wants to finance alcohol, pornography, we say, no, no, no. That is against our teaching. And we wouldn't say no if you too in your religion have things that are against your teaching. We support you to implement your teaching now. That is the basis of peace and stability. Being in peace and not in pieces. All right? So, this is this. Another question is they have asked, and in the countries that have been implementing Islamic banking, like say Pakistan, Malaysia, and the rest, have they succeeded? I say yes, they have succeeded. In fact, it is because of the success that you see even other countries rushing to adopt a similar method. Like today, there are about 100 countries operating Islamic banking system. We have it on good authority. And this Islamic banking grows at the rate of 10 to 15% annually. On good authority. And it has capital worth over $300 billion on good authority. So if not because it had succeeded in the countries that were mentioned, it wouldn't have reached such a level of growth in geometric progression. To tell you, it is working. It finances agricultural effort. It finances academic pursuit. It finances marital activities during buying of rams during Salah at subsidized and humane rate, unlike the conventional banking system, which tends to be exploitative, exploiting your youthfulness. Yeah. If you are over 30, you become old cargo. They fish you out. You reach 40, as they say, you don't pop a car finish, as they say. So they are looking for just boys of 25. A girl that should be married at the age of 18, 20, you see her going to sell her beauty. Yeah, in court, selling her beauty. Because her manager say her, hey, realize 200 million naira, otherwise you will be sent out. So she will be running helter-skelter to this office trying to, what are you telling me? She is not selling her product in the bank. She is too selling her beauty, her honor, her personality, her chastity in the name of money making to escape embarrassment of economic realities, only for her to put herself in the embarrassment of the chastisement in the grave by the time she dies. Not only before death, even in this very life, her honor will be thrown to the garbage, because that opens the gate for zina. Definitely. You can't cheat nature. You cannot cheat nature. You can't eat your cake and have it. Okay, tell me. The Quran says, as an example, as a precautionary measure against zina, that woman should cover her body. Tell me, in the process of wanting to go and advertise and sell and make her bank popular, does she go in her niqab? To the companies, to the ministries, they laugh at her. She herself feels she is backward to appear like good Muslims. So she only appears as good Muslim by the time she has finished the activities of the day. All right? Then she goes in a kind of a dress to attract. Even her appearance has to be attractive. They even tell her, hey, please don't go and cause unpopularity for our bank. You have to address energetically. You have to address judiciously. I mean, in the process, like I said, she is selling her honor, her beauty, her youthfulness, her religion, for the sake of money. So the banking system of the is exploitative in this manner, inhumane, and does not take into consideration the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody has put in 40 years of service only for him to be thrown away just because he is old. They don't even look at the experiences he has accumulated which will help the banking system. I mean, so this is just one out of many negative areas of Islamic, of conventional banking system when you compare to the Islamic banking. Inshallah, I will tell you another question they have sent to me, which I have answered maybe in the subsequent card. But on this note, because of time factor, I think we have to call it a day, asking Allah out of His infinite mercy to help us understand the truth, implement it and work according to it. Innahu waliyu dhalika wal qadiru alayh. Until we meet next time, same station, on behalf of my cameraman here, I the presenter saying, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.